Well, this morning we're in for an extra special treat because we have a new speaker, a guest speaker, but not unfamiliar to us Parksiders. We get to hear Renee Pringle share God's word with us this morning. And I know Renee is not a stranger to anyone in Parkside, let alone Mission, let alone Abbotsford, let alone the Fraser Valley, because I think everybody knows Renee because she is just so friendly and so outgoing and so sociable. She connects much of the social fabric of our church and of our community, and she's a gift to this church and this body and to us. And so would you welcome Renee this morning as she comes and shares God's word with us today.
I want to first say thank you to Vince for sharing. It was encouraging to me and what I'm going to share this morning, his faithfulness and obedience to share what God's encouraging him with and growing in. So the sermon title is brought to you by this mug. It says, Rise and Shine. And a good friend of mine saw me, we went shopping before Christmas, and she saw me eyeing it up in a store in Vancouver, and I'm like, yeah, I like that. So she grabbed it, and she's like, I'm going to buy that for you. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's like, just a nice mug, you know. I like to drink coffee out of nice mugs. It makes it even better. I'll never stop drinking coffee because I like nice mugs and tea doesn't work in them for me. Sorry, all you tea drinkers. But I wanted to highlight this just to show that little gifts can go a long way. Just little, like, thoughtful things that can encourage me with a sermon. Right before Christmas, I knew that I'd be sharing January 28th for a while. I'm not sure how long. But long enough, but I kind of just put it on the side because we had the Deck the Halls event. And so I had that on my mind. I'm like, hey, I can't think about it until after Christmas. But after the Deck the Halls, I was in church and in December. I'm like, oh, right, January 28th. Clint didn't tell me what to preach. Why didn't he tell me what to preach? Like, I wish he told me what to preach because then I could complain about not knowing what to preach about that. But anyways, I was sitting here in church and God just brought that mug, the little mug, to my mind and he said, Rise and Shine. I'm like, So that is how it came about. So it's a new year and some of you may get a little excited when I say Rise and Shine. You're meeting the goals of the New Year's resolutions and you're prepped to meet the rise to the challenge of your day. However, I'm sure there are many of you like myself, when you hear the phrase, rise and shine, a little groan or moan is let out. You're brought back to the childhood memories of your parents or annoying friends such as myself, singing the song in the most annoying voice, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. So when my mom would come into my room and pull out that song, I grab my pillow and hide under it and pray that she'd leave the room without opening the blinds. As I grew, I learned to love the song for the sole purpose of annoying friends at sleepovers and now to torture my children with. But all kidding aside, to rise and shine is what we were made for. You and I were made for this. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the houses in the same way. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. As I was preparing to share with you all, I had so many thoughts run through my mind, such as, Renee, you can't articulate in a one-on-one conversation. Why do you think you can today? I was thinking of all the areas I fall short in. I thought, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to need a good editor and someone to help me get what's in my mind out of my mouth. But as I continued to pray and seek God and what he had wanted to say to you all today through me, I felt him say, you were made for this, you and me. God really pressed it on my heart that he wanted to make me brave. He wanted to give me confidence. He wanted to be my voice, and he wanted to let his light to shine. Instead of calling up a friend and telling them all the thoughts and worries, I needed to take the basket off my head and get behind this pulpit and allow God to fully be a part of this process and let his word shine through me and bring glory to his name. So as I began to prepare, I love to plan. Planning is something that brings me so much joy. My mom used to say that I needed to be some sort of event planner or organizer, because when Friday came, without fail, the phone would start ringing and it would be my friends asking, what are we going to do for the weekend? And da-da-da-da-da, what should we do down the road? Like, I was always kind of in the middle of all the planning for socialization. There is some planning I do not like finances, but I like planning socialization kind of things and organization a little bit. The problem, though, as I started to prepare for this Sunday, was that I kept thinking how a Sunday morning sermon should look and sound. I started to leave God out of the planning yet again. I started to get confused in my thoughts, ideas, and vision. I was like, okay, God, what's going on here? Why am I not able to exegete the scripture and find some unhidden treasures that no one else in the whole world has ever found? I would like that. I then heard again, you and me, rise and shine. So I stopped my prepping and went about my life for the next few days with two phrases running through my mind. With those two phrases running through my mind, along with the country song, Jesus Take the Wheel. So I was kind of like, if you know that song. Wednesday, this past week, you, in the phrase, you and me, God hit me with. I want you, not someone else. You the one who I created to speak this Sunday. This quote showed up on my Facebook memories, which I have no memory of sharing, but it was timely for me in this season. It says, think not that you're limited because of what you cannot do, but think instead of all of the talents that God has given you. So as I began to rewrite my sermon, I thought, what am I good at? I'm good at encouraging and motivating and being a little crazy while doing it. And I didn't write it in here, but on Friday, where I was talking about, I kind of like took my focus off God, and I really felt like I actually didn't. I was tempted a few times just to send my sermon to a couple friends and let them edit it and find. I have quite a few good editor friends. That is how I've survived my life, is I always make good friends. I don't use you, but you're my good friend for a reason. That are really good at that. But on Friday, I was praying, because all of a sudden I got struck with like, oh my word, Sunday is like a day away, like freaking out. Because there's been moments where I was like, yeah, this is great. I'm kind of like excited. And then I'm like, oh, paralyzed with fear. And on Friday, I text a friend with a random thought or question. And then after that, like she was great. She was encouraging and all that. But after that, I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm hearing God wrong. Like I just was, I was frozen. And I was like, actually, if girls, you know the nothing box that men talk about? I had 2 hours of nothing in my brain. I'm not even lying. Like, it exists. Like, my brain goes a mile a minute, and there was nothing. Like, it was dead. I'm like, I was just frozen. I couldn't even explain it. But I continued. I was like, okay, what is God telling me? It's you and me. Don't call a friend. Like, don't do what you just did. Like, come to me. It's not about me. I felt God say and confirm again, like, this is nothing to do about you. Like, it's about me, not you. And after that 2 hours, I went back to my room, and I had still needed to wrap up this and reorganize some of my thoughts. And I got in there, and both my kids were in there yet again with me. But this time I was just like, okay, God, I allowed him to overcome that void of like nothingness and fear, and help me prepare for this morning, even with two little kids around me, telling me, Mom, you spelled this wrong. Mom, can I give you a kiss, etc. But I needed to rise. And in the Webster Dictionary, it states to move from a lower position to a higher one, to succeed in not being limited or constrained by a restrictive environment or situation. In Matthew 5, in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. On the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. How many of us find ourselves looking at who we are and wishing we were like so and so, or wondering why God, why did you make me this way? Why did you call me to be a radio broadcaster when I have a Minnie Mouse voice and not Morgan Freeman's? Why are you getting me to speak today when I fumble over my words? I've worked as a special needs assistant for the past 9 years. Many of the kids I work with don't fit the typical school box model. Majority of the students I've worked with have been ones that struggle academically or socially. They want nothing more than to be like other class, their other classmates who come to school, hear what the teacher says, understand what the teacher says, is talking about, and then ace a test or even get a C. To come and go to school without any anxiety or fear or being insecure about who they are. These children try to find a way to fit into a box that they were so clearly not meant to fit into in the first place. I am fortunate that I get to work at a Christian school where I have the freedom to share Jesus with students who, like myself, would tell their parents that they don't care and that they wanted to be a bum and live under a bridge anyways, and who are so exhausted at trying to be like everyone else. I get to encourage and tell them, yeah, school is hard, especially for you. Yeah, you have to work harder and without the results of top grades, but that's okay. God fearfully and wonderfully made you, and for them to rise and not be limited or constrained by what the world is telling them they should look like, to find their identity in Christ, to be okay with who they are, and to work hard being who God created them to be. This past week, one of the students that I work with, mom was sharing with me, she's adopted four children, and they all have some sort of earthly limitation and struggle, and she says, it confirms me every day knowing that my children were made uniquely by God. It helps me deal with the constant and negative I get from the earthly creatures. By the grace of God, my kids are all survivors, and I am blessed every day to help them in this journey. Life would be so boring if we were all the same. God is good. I recently watched the movie The Greatest Showman. Most of you, everyone in here probably was not surprised that I brought it up because I pretty much told the whole town to go watch it. So if you know me, I told you to go watch it. And if you don't know me, I probably told you. I think I told people in grocery store lineups everywhere. I really liked it. But disclaimer, it's not a Christian movie. And you know you shouldn't go look for biblical truths in it. But for today, I'm going to illustrate some things out of it. The Greatest Showman is about P.T. Barnum and is a musical that celebrates the birth of show business and tells of visionaries who rose from nothing to create a spectacular that became worldwide sensation in the movie. Let me get some water first, and then I'll slow down. In the movie, P.T. Barnum took people who society deemed as an oddity and showcased their uniquenesses. I do realize that some people call this exploitation, but for today, it wasn't. In this movie, it was a positive, okay? Down the road, it maybe not so much. My favorite part when in the movie is when the oddities, and what he considered oddities are those that, in the movie, there were smaller people, there was a woman with a beard, there was a guy with a whole bunch of tattoos, there was tall, there was big, there was all sorts of what maybe society would deem as odd. They sung the song, "This Is Me." And as I sat in the theater trying to restrain myself from jumping up out of the chair and singing along with the movie, you guys are very lucky that I'm not musical because I would have done this whole sermon through music. Like, honestly, when I was a little girl, I used to, like, grab the pole and run around and pretend I was Belle off Beauty and the Beast. And now I think back because that was when I lived in Dallas and we were in condos in a Bible college. And, like, there's condos. I bet people were watching me. Like, I literally did that. Like, I ran and just sang. I was homeschooled. Not that homeschooling is bad. There's lots of homeschooling parents. There's lots of you here. It's great. Like, look at me. I turned out well. That was only one. Anyways, back to the oddities. As I sat in the theater trying to restrain myself, I said this already, but out of the chair and singing along with the movie, I saw in the place the face of the actors. I saw our church. Not that all you women have beards or men are extremely tall or large, nor did I see race. I thought about all the amazing men and women and children at Parkside and thought how cool would it be if our church really accepted who they were meant to be, who they are in Christ, and died to self and boldly received God's truth that he fearfully and wonderfully made them, that he rose and did not let that we rose and didn't let the world be our compass or a mirror. In verse 16 of Matthew 5, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Once we have accepted who the Creator created us to be, we can no longer be hidden. We need to shine. Shine, I'll pronounce in the Greek. No, I won't. I looked it up, and I'm like, let me see if I can do it. No, who am I kidding? Another day, maybe. It means to beam, radiate, glitter, glow. I like the glitter. Glow or be bright with reflected light. Isaiah 61:3 says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to your brightness of your rising. Many men and women throughout history have risen, have defeated the odds that were against them. They've become the wealthiest, found cures for diseases, were the great fathers and mothers, teachers and waiters, all around kind and caring citizens, but still missed the mark. God didn't just create us to rise. He created us to rise and shine. Our motive to influence us is not simply that we may be seen, but it should be that our Creator may be glorified. Who's receiving glory in your life? Who is your Creator? Is it your possessions? Is it your work? Is it, what is it? I also saw, I hate bringing up two movies, but I also saw another movie, I should be reading more books. I read this book on Paul Getty, and it was called The Richest Man, or I can't remember the title, but about Paul Getty, if you guys know about the art museum in California. At the time, in 1966, he was known as the richest man in the world because of some oil investments and that. But in this movie, his son, I won't give it all away, but his grandson was kidnapped, and it's about, and he went for ransom, and it's about him not really giving up money for his grandson. But the part that I found really interesting is that he said in, I couldn't find the quote, but he said in the movie that he buys all this art because people fail him all the time. So the glory in his life was his artwork. When he died, I don't even think there was actually much in his bank account. It was all in this artwork for his family and that. So, and then in my next part, Clint has helped me with this part. It was funny, I got a message from Clint, and I was trying to figure out how to describe the light, like who the light is. Like, and I was thinking back to last year, I was working in grade 8 class, and in science 8, we were learning about prisms and eyeballs, all about light and how it works. But a lot of teachers like to say that I'm just as much a student as the rest of them sometimes. So I like to goof around with them, and I'm not the best student at all. But so sometimes the teachers probably feel like they've got an adult student in the class because I'm just like, what? How does that work? Really? Like, I was so busy, still back at the cow's eye and how animals have the reflected thing behind them. I don't even know the name of it. But I was like, that's so cool. Like, I don't get it, though. Like, I don't care how much science you tell me, I still don't get it. Like, it's so weird. And then we're doing, these little projects. So I was thinking about that, and then Clint messaged me with this, and he said, you see, we aren't the light. God is. But we are the lens that display the beauty of the light. Think of the ways when the light hits and shines through a prism. It breaks down the beauty of the white light into the colors of the rainbow. Each person is unique and refracts the light in a way that only one person on the planet can. No one else can display the splendor of God in the way that you were made to. Stop fighting his cutting and polishing. The master gem cutter knows what he is doing. We must come out of the darkness into the light to experience the light. We need to move and position ourselves towards the light. In Ephesians 5:13, it says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Awake, look. God is calling each one of us to awaken and to look at our lives, to allow the light to expose and awaken us to the foolish ways we've been living. To experience the light, we need to move and position ourselves towards the light. We cannot shine his light if we are hiding from the light. Living in a disobedient sin is not open to who the Maker has made us to be. I want to finish by reading. I know it's already 11. You guys are lucky. You guys get to go home early. You're welcome. I want to finish by reading to you guys Luke 8, 4 Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15, where Jesus tells the parable of the sower. I recognize that we are all in different places in our walk with Jesus. So as I read the parable, I want you to listen to what Jesus is telling his disciples and to be honest with yourself and before God and to identify which soil you're living in. So Luke 8, 4 to 15, the parable of the sower. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from the town after town came to him, he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and some was trampled underfoot. And the bird of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns and thorns grew up and it choked it. And some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has an ear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in the parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, the one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and not be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a while of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, there are those who hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. I'm not going to go through the whole parable with you this morning, but I felt that I needed this to be seen. It would be almost another sermon for me to write. That for us to rise and shine, we need to look at our lives and see what type of soil we are living in. The seed is God's word. The sower is anyone who teaches or shares God's word to others. Jesus explains through the parable that there are four basic responses represented by the soil when God's word is taught. Jeremiah Myers from Redeeming God writes, if you're like me, your life is going to look like a field, some hardened, some rocky, some thorny, some good. The goal is to till the hardened soil, clear away the rock, and burn out the thorns so our entire field becomes good and fertile soil. It's kind of like even on the bulletin, you see the guy standing there looking, I don't know if he's looking back, looking forward, looking to the side. But even when I was preparing this and just thinking and looking at that and thinking of how my posture in writing this has been kind of going almost through all the different soils to get to today, that I just have to keep going seeking God and God and God and God, and it's not me. God spreads his seed everywhere. It's everywhere. Like glitter, you can't get away from it. Some people love glitter. I like glitter until it's in my house, but I like glitter at the church. It's great. But yeah, you think it's gone, and then one day you're like, why is there glitter on my pants? Or why is there glitter here? It's just everywhere. Jesus called out as he said these things. He who has an ears to hear, let him hear. Our eyes and ears need to be open to him and to respond. We can't expect God to show up in the areas where we least expect him. In closing, my prayer for our church is that we would rise, we would be who God created us to be, and to shine his light well. Rise and shine in the good and the bad times. That Parkside Church would be the city on the hill that could not be hidden. That nothing would stop us from allowing Christ's light to shine through us. We would be the good soil, those who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Let us look carefully, hear God's word, die to ourselves, and rise to his glory. I want to encourage you all when you go home today or this week for your homework is to look over Luke 8. 4 to 15 again, and fine, which soil are you living in right now? And don't be Don't be discouraged if you're like, oh, I'm just full of rocks and thorns. Don't allow the devil to make you feel horrible. Like, God has accepted you as you are. Like, he wants you as you are, not somebody else. He knows your sins. He knows everything. He knew everything about me, yet he asked me to speak today. And believe me, I've got lots of thorns and rocks that I had to work through. And the battle has been won. Like, you don't have to fight this battle. Like, there's victory in his name. And what I also want to say that if you haven't received Jesus, or you've been living in the thorns and the rocks, and you've kind of walked away, that don't let today go by without having someone pray for you, or a friend, or take time with God and allow him to change you and accept who you are, and just die to yourself and let him shine through you.
Thank you, Renee. What I love most about that is not only did you speak clearly and share what was on your heart and what the Lord revealed to you, but you walk it out with your life. And I think every longtime Parksider sees that in Renee and the example that she sets in rising each day and shining, letting Christ's light shine through her. So you're an inspiration to us both in word and in deed. So thank you for that. Why don't we close in prayer, and then the music team come up and end us in a song as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your light came into our lives, that you came into our world, our dark world. We were dark and empty without you, and you came into our world to be our light, to be our salvation. And Lord, while you are now seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning, you did not leave us alone without your light, but you sent your light, you sent yourself by your Holy Spirit to dwell within all those who call on you by faith. For all those who call on you to forgive them of their sins, you make them pure. You credit your righteousness, your holiness unto us, and you deposit your very presence, your spirit, your very person within us, so that from the inside out, you can begin to work and weed and pick out rocks and till up hard parts of our heart, and you can begin to do and grow something beautiful, that which you made for us to be and do from the beginnings of time. You have put it in our hearts. You put it in our personality. You put it in our uniqueness. It's demonstrated in our fingerprint, the way in which you have created us to be unique and wonderful, to display your image, your light in this world, Lord. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit and your Word would go to work in our hearts right now and in the week to come, that we would allow the what your Spirit and Word are speaking and saying to us through Renee's words, through our devotions, through your Spirit speaking directly to us, that we would be sensitive to your leadership in our lives, to your light in our lives, where it is exposing darkness and where it wants to break through and shine through. Father, we surrender our lives to you here yet again. Renee used the words, die to self. We let go of control of our lives, recognizing that when we take control, the only thing we add to the world is darkness. But when we let you have control, we bring your light to the world. And your light is what this world needs. Your light is what our families and our marriages need, Lord. So, Father, would you shine brightly in our hearts? And would we pull back the curtains, so to speak, and let your work, your life, your goodness shine through us today, Lord? We give you our lives. We give you our day. We give you our week. We give you everything about our lives, Lord. What a joy it is to have your light illuminate our lives and to spill out into our world, Lord. So, Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for speaking through Renee. Thank you for the gift of your word. And thank you for the grace that you will pour out in us this week. In your name, amen.